All right, well, let me jump on in now to the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just remind you guys that the Right Side Way is every single day me putting my thoughts down and bringing them to you to open up the show. And I got to say, generally speaking, I would hazard that there's two main reasons for someone to lie about anything. Either one, the person is fearful of what will happen if the truth is known, or two, they don't think the listeners of the lie can handle the truth. Well, both reasons are awful, and both of them breed distrust and uncertainty. And truth is also a character indicator. What is their reputation for truthfulness and veracity, you may ask? When they become known for lies, it is generally considered a stain on their character, right? A person's propensity for truthfulness, it actually matters. If someone is, you know, scared that other people will dislike them because they actually tell the truth, well, how do you face that? It means they don't have strength of character. They don't have the ability to handle the truth. Would you want someone to be in charge of your life, your job, your church, your politics, if they didn't have the spine to see bad news and deal with it head on? Well, there's an old saying that I was taught as a young Army officer that bad news does not get better with time. Real leaders actually confront the consequences and deal with them. Cowards put their head in the sand, hope it all goes away. And a lie is the quick way of putting one's head in the sand. But the other one, the grounds for a lie being built on the notion that others who could be impacted by the truth just can't handle it, well, that's an arrogance. There's an arrogance in that. It's like the arrogant character played by Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men who shouted with disgust in open court that you can't handle the truth. It shows a disdain, a dislike, a distrust of others, which somehow then rationalizes that the lie should be uttered. So again, liars fear the impact of the truth, or two, liars don't trust or believe in others to handle the truth, so they lie. And like I said, neither excuse is excusable. And by the way, don't be fooled by the old adage that there's a possibility of a little white lie. I mean, years ago, when I was a rookie lawyer, I was working for an older lawyer who'd been trying cases for years. I'll never forget, one day I was assisting him in trial, and we had just caught the opposition in an actual lie on the stand, under oath. And my boss got up to make his closing arguments to the jury. And he led off by saying that when he was young, his grandfather was one of his major influences, and his grandfather used to tell him, you lie about a little, you lie about a lot. And I have used that line multiple times since then. So let me ask you this. Does that change in politics? Is it excusable to spin things? I had a friend once I was talking with about public statements of someone in state politics, and the person I was talking to said, well, you know, I guess that's his politics, to which I replied, no, it's still a lie. There's no acceptable setting, including politics, for intentional mistruths. All right, now that I've laid all that foundation, has anyone else noticed the constant stream of mistruths from the Kamala Harris-Tim Walz campaign, or at least from their pundits? I mean, you have to ask yourself, are they scared of the consequences of truth? Or do they just arrogantly believe that we can't handle the truth? Well, what got me started on this whole thought process was the constant barrage of campaign surrogates and liberal media pundits all collaborating for the big lie that Trump is a Nazi. A Nazi? What? Or alternatively, he's a fascist. Okay, so Trump is either Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini. I mean, the only thing missing now from the Axis powers of World War II would be to have Trump declared an imperialist warmonger and liken him to Japan's Emperor Hirohito. Then we could fight the war all over again, but against one man. Look, I've heard everything in recent days. I mean, it just takes the cake. Liberal pundit Mika Brzezinski, she went on The View as a guest. In a hyperventilation moment, she reacted to the massive Trump rally that occurred at Madison Square Garden by saying, and here's her quote, you ready? She said, quote, it was everything you need to know about Donald Trump in one weird white nationalist Nazi-type rally. And of course, there's historic parallels to where and when this happened. And then she said, I have come with such dire warnings, and I mean them from the bottom of my heart. These are the final hours. My gosh, take a breath, woman. But every bit of that was a lie. Every bit of that was just pure hyperbole. Well, not to be outdone, by the way, in the massive lying hyperbole category, View host Whoopi Goldberg, she went on her own unhinged rant claiming that Trump would actually break up interracial marriages. What? Breaking up interracial marriages, and oh, by the way, if an illegal immigrant woman claimed to be married to a white American citizen, that Trump would just split the couple up and, here's the quote, reassign the white guy to another woman. She was practically spitting in the microphone when she yelled all this on national TV. But look, the lying rhetoric may be coming from a lot of the pundits and the, you know, the people who get out there as surrogates for the campaign, but it's also coming straight from the horse's mouth, from Vice President Harris herself. A woman, by the way, who cannot even decide what accent to use and has to reinvent herself at every turn. When asked recently if she believes that Trump is a fascist, she simply responded, "Yes, I do." She even went on so far then to hold an actual press conference on the steps of the official residence of the vice president with the flag of the office behind her and declared that the former fired chief of staff John Kelly's comments about Donald J. Trump were all true. Trump's a dictator. Here's what she said in her official capacity, by the way. She said, quote, "In a second term, people like John Kelly would not be there to be the guardrails against his propensities and actions. Those who once tried to stop him," she said, "from pursuing his worst impulses would no longer be there to rein him in." So the bottom line, she asked, is this. We know what Donald Trump wants. He wants unchecked power. So the question in 13 days will be, what do the American people want? That was said in her official capacity. Well, look, this is the same Kamala Harris, who as vice president wanted the world to know what an amazing thing it was that we did so well pulling out of Afghanistan. Whoop, whoop. Remember that John Kirby, Harris's former Pentagon press secretary, who now serves as the communications coordinator for the National Security Council, when he made the amazing statement that Russia and China were likely in awe of the United States after watching how quickly the exit from Iran took Afghanistan took place. What? What? I mean, how is the Biden administration able to put out statements like that when the world knows that Biden's own Department of Defense issued a statement that same week that said that the exit from Afghanistan was so bad that China was using it as a propaganda tool to convince world leaders that we can't be counted on? To this day, Harris attempts to cast shade on anybody who says her administration just didn't hit a home run with the Afghanistan pullout. And as for the border, well, here's another one. She was appointed the border czar till it became inconvenient. Then suddenly she'd never been the border czar. And the liberal media, who reported her as the border czar, now agreed she'd never been the border czar, even though we all saw it right there with our own two eyes. And they reported it. And then, you know, as a total capstone to all of it, recently she blamed the border issues on Trump, of course. Look, these are not small mistruths. They're not the only ones either. And these aren't little white lies. These are character assassinations writ large. These are major policy points that affect our economy, our military strength, and certainly the public trust in the office of the presidency. And I will tell you, this is a pattern. It has been known for so many years that Kamala Harris will embellish stories to help herself be, what, more relatable, I guess? Fighting for the people, bringing an opportunity to the economy later, but not now, even though I'm already vice president, and on and on and on. And people have excused her little white lies, and they've excused her embellishments, and they've excused her fake accents, and they've excused her absolute lies and her fear-mongering, and they put them off as just, you know, politics. Just good old school politics. No, it's called lying. And now we have the woman who's been lying for years without constraint or correction. A woman who, by the way, has never, ever, ever led anything, any organization in her whole life. A woman who didn't get a single vote to be allowed to be the Democrat nominee. A woman who has built a life on lying about a little, is now in charge of an administration that seems to perpetually lie about a lot and wants to be the president of the United States. And there is no good excuse for it. None. You lie about a little, you lie about a lot. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. All right, well, take me to a break there, JP. Yeah, I'm telling you, the lie about a little, lie about a lot, it's real. And what we're seeing right now is that we've got a lying group of people with their pundits in the press covering them. And it's just absolutely not right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.